Guthrie, and this is the Long Letter Podcast, though I am kind of doing it a little bit differently this episode. I am not in my usual location. I am working from my little stairway loft desk area at home, and I don't have an interview today. I do have more interviews lined up, and I'm working on finding the time to do that. But right now, life is kind of crazy. So I just wanted to do a quick episode and share some of the stuff that's been going on and kind of what I hope to see going in the future for this podcast. And so first of all, it's Christmas Eve. So Merry Christmas to everybody. And I hope your Christmas winter season is going well. Excuse the train in the background. I'm not in a treated room. My kids are downstairs playing Minecraft right now, so you might hear them make noise or start talking trash to each other. Or trash talking each other, I guess. Yeah, and so what's been going on here? Recently, my wife has had a surgery, and she's been going through the recovery for that. Her recovery is going really well. There have been no complications, and the results of the surgery look to be really good. No concern for follow-up there, but due to that, I've been home taking care of her as well as the household and the four kids, and it's been pretty stressful, pretty tiring. It's also been a really rough winter. We have just tons of sickness going around. I know that a lot of my friends and family are currently dealing with stuff. There's like RSV and COVID and flu and cold, sometimes all at once. And so we've been kind of hunkered down to the house. The last thing my wife needs while recovering is to get sick. And so it's been kind of a trying time. It's been exhausting, and it's just, you know, it's dark outside and everybody's just kind of shot. But we're doing okay. Things are going okay. But because of this unforeseen issue, it's kind of derailed the podcast timing a little bit. I had hoped to do more. But here we are. So I just wanted to give an update on what's going on there. And I also want to talk a little bit about what I'm doing with this podcast. And the truth is that I have no idea. I started a blog, and the blog was more cathartic for myself. It allowed me to work out how I was thinking on certain things, or what I was thinking on certain things, through writing. And that kind of morphed into this podcast that we have now. And I guess it's the same thing. I'm still working through things. It also started as kind of an idea to give some space and a voice to some people to share their stories. There's a lot of amazing stories out there that I think, as we listen to them, can help us humanize some of these situations, some of these things that we see out there, like homelessness, like addiction. Yeah. And so that one thing led to another, and was doing the recordings, kind of going through this whole process. And so where do I go from here? What am I doing? And I do have more interviews lined up. I do have more plans, but I am going to kind of maybe expand it a little bit. They say that when you start like a podcast or something, it's important to stick to a niche. And I'm going to struggle with that because I have interests that while they are overlapping, are broad and go in a lot of different directions. And I want to process and work through those things. So while I'm going to continue on with discussing homelessness, discussing addiction, having interviews on, we're probably going to touch on stuff regarding mental health as well. And I'm just going to try to expand out. I'm also a Christian. My faith is a pretty critical part of who I am. And I'm going to wrestle with these ideas in that context as well. And so, yeah, it might not stay in a perfect niche, and that's fine because this is free and you don't have to listen to it if you don't want to. If you have feedback I definitely encourage you to reach out. Those who have reached out so far, thank you so much for your feedback. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for just everything. The whole process has been very life-giving to me. Hearing others share their story and being a part of sharing that has been amazing. And my wife asked, well, how many interviews are you going to do? Like, where's this going? And I said, I don't know. We've got 80,000 people in our area. Maybe I'll do 80,000 interviews. I doubt it, but we'll see kind of where it's going. So there's still a plan, but I'm taking it kind of one thing at a time. And so, yeah, that's what brings me here right now, is to kind of just share with you listeners what the plan is, and what I kind of want to do going forward. And so feedback is welcome. You can contact me through my blog, or if you're friends with me on social media, feel free to reach out. I'm very interested in these discussions and input and feedback. And so one thing that I might be doing more of is picking a topic and having a discussion panel on it, and just kind of working through some of these issues, because life is complex and most of these issues are complex, and it's not always as easy as we think it is. And so that's where I'm at now. So today's quick episode hopefully won't be very long. I just wanted to kind of give you an idea of where I thought things could go, where they should go, and what I'm looking at. I'm just going to solicit feedback. If you have anything to share with me, I'd love hearing from you. And I want to kind of take a moment. It's winter break for a lot of you. Some of you are off for Christmas or whatever. And I want to share a book that I have found to be profitable. It's an interesting book. It's short. It's succinct. And it's something that I think a lot of people could curl up and read while you have some downtime, especially when it's dark and dreary outside like we've had recently. Before I do that, it's kind of like a little hobby of mine. I like to collect little theology books and read them. I find it interesting how people package their faith into a short statement, short book. And I have lots of them. One of this is Invitation to Faith by John Macquarie. It's a really interesting book. I think it was published in mid-90s or whatever. I like that one. Dear Mr. Brown. This one's an old one. This is by Harry Emerson Fosdick. Interesting, as he writes letters to a pretend person discussing topics of religion and faith. And there's more. Mere Christianity. A lot of people have read that one. That one's obviously very famous and popular. These are books that are kind of like in that vein of books there. For the Life of the World by Alexander Schmiman. I don't know how to say his last name. He's an Eastern Orthodox writer. Really good book. Jesus and the Disinherited by Howard Thurman. Dorothy Soule has Theology for Skeptics. All sorts of like books. And I'd love to like get into it. I'd love to maybe do a series on some of these, just talk about the things that they unpack. It just really does fascinate me how people approach faith. And so the book I want to talk about today is called The Love That Is God. It's an invitation to Christian faith. The author is Frederick Christian Bauerschmidt. It's published by Erdmans. It's a short book. It's not very long. I think it's a really winsome book, and it's actually a quick read. Basically, he had done a homily, and somebody came up to him afterward and kind of wish that their child was able to hear that homily. It would have been valuable. He eventually turned it into a book. And the book is, like I said, it's a pretty quick read. So if you're looking for a book to settle down with during these dark days, this would be a quick book. And it's, I think it's kind of affirming, life affirming type book. And I'll kind of get into that, why I think that is. Now, just a real quick, aside here, I read a lot of books. I read books from a wide range of backgrounds, scholars, authors, different segments of Christianity. Not everything is an endorsement. Some things, there's just some good that comes out of a book and some that I disagree with or whatever. But I think there's always value in reading across a wider spectrum than maybe what your current circle contains. And so, so today's book, this book that I'd like to encourage, is The Love That Is God. And I'm going to tell a story from my friend Cole, who talks about what he calls the dog butt hook of theology, which is he's got these coat hooks things. You come into the house, you know, you put your coat up on a hook. The hook is a dog tail or whatever. And so he calls it the dog butt hook. It's that thing that we kind of hang all of our faith off of. And this comes from, you know, Jesus's response that, you know, what is the greatest commandment? He says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's sort of a dog butt hook statement that the kind of, you hang the rest of your theology off, you hang the rest of your faith off of, and how you kind of process stuff. It's an underlying principle or an ideology or whatever you want to call it. And I think this book, The Love That Is God, is a book it's similar in that. And it basically, its claim is that the radical claim of Christianity is that God is love. And he unpacks all of that. It's only 5 chapters long. And he unpacks all of that. He recognizes the complexities of saying that God is love. He addresses the issue of it being some sort of fuzzy, Hallmarky type thing that you just throw out there. We write it on little signs and bumper stickers or whatever. The trivialization of that, as well as the abuse of that, he's fully aware of. And he kind of takes that aside. And then he also points out the concept of what kind of love, like what does it mean that God is love? He breaks down one, that all of our God talk is analogical. It is ostensive. It's not saying that it is this thing. It's saying that this is what it's like by pointing to it, sort of thing. You know, and so if you kind of take out the commercialization of it, if you take out the quick quips and phrases of God is love, if you kind of remove that, you recognize that, you know, when we talk of God in this way, it is complicated, and it kind of hits to a different way of knowing things. And so he's a teacher, apparently professor, and he'll ask his students, do your parents love you? This is kind of how he opens this up, and it's kind of tricky. He admits that it's tricky to get into that because some people can come from a poor background or can have a bad home life. But the idea is kind of general enough that people do understand what it means to be loved. They know that it's not an opinion necessarily. It's like, yeah, it's my opinion that my parents love me, nor is it necessarily a type of knowledge like some sort of fact that science would find out there. And yet the underlying type of knowledge that it is something that we stake our lives on. It's something that's incredibly important. It's something that we value a great deal. And the technical word for that, I don't even think he uses in the book, is epistemology. It's how we know what we know, sort of stuff, and what kinds of knowing that there are. And his argument is that there's a type of knowing what it means to be loved that represents analogically who God is. And that Christian radical idea that God is love, he expands on that. And it's a quick read. It's, I think, profitable for most people to kind of get an idea. It's sort of a dog butt hook concept theologically that I think works. And I've recommended this book to several people, and I've gotten good feedback from them. Like I said, it's a book that I've liked. And there's only 5 chapters. I'm trying to find the chapters here, sorry. The first one is God is love, where he kind of unpacks, what does that mean? What's it mean to say that God is love? You know, the pros and cons and the dangers of doing this. Chapter 2 is the love that is God is crucified love. So he gives the specific type of love that is God, this characteristic of being cruciform or crucified love, this sort of self-giving love. Chapter 3, we are called to friendship with the risen Jesus. He breaks this down in regards to how that works out in our Savior, in Jesus. Chapter 4, we cannot love God if we do not love each other. And then chapter 5, we live our love out from the community created by the Spirit. And he ends his book with his homily that actually inspired this. So, if you've got time, if you've got the inclination, I would definitely take some time, sit down and read it. It's a great book. I really enjoyed it. He's a good, winsome writer. And, I find that these books are valuable as you listen to somebody who's tried to, compact the explanation or the concept of faith, to either people who are struggling in their faith or outside the faith, or just need to understand their faith through a different lens. Pretty valuable. I've enjoyed it. So that's my book recommendation. That's my podcast episode. It's quick. I hope you enjoy my, my set here of working in a stairway loft. Anyways, I just wanted to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. I hope your winter, your Christmas time, your end of the year is going smoothly. I hope all are healthy and can avoid sickness. And I just want to thank you for all the feedback that many of you have given me regarding the podcast, regarding articles I've written. I do appreciate it. It encourages me. It inspires me. I hope you can look forward to some of the more content that I hope to be able to develop here, both in interviews as well as in talking about certain subjects, topics. And I do have more books like this, as well as things I'd like to get into. So maybe I'll do a few sessions on, a book review or walk through it, similar to what I did on my blog for Grace Can Lead Us Home, which is a really great book about homelessness, addiction, and all of the myriad of tangled mess that can be, and how we as Christians can respond to it. So anyways, thank you for your time. Like I said, hope you have a good Christmas, and I will talk to you later.